When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Nothing!
If you had to compare yourself with Barry, are you similar? Are you very different? One of the things I found with this character is he couldn't be quite as edgy as the way I played myself on the TV show. That in the way he looks, and there's something about animated movies, or there's something about an audience in a movie theater, that they just...
to this window over here. Touch a spot on the window and describe it to me.
This feels like glass.
Well, that's because it is glass. Describe it. Describe it the best you can.
Your podcast is my podcast.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery, and I'm here to talk to you about catheters. Let me tell you why.
the channel! Everybody out!
I mean, I never liked, like, I never liked Led Zeppelin. I never liked heavy rock. I hate, like, if you ask me, like, those real, like, Grand Funk Railroad or even the crazy mega, you know, the mega death or, like, crazy ones with the guitars, I hate that stuff.
Like Black Sabbath?
Oh, Black Sabbath. But what's the other one that's
AC/DC?
Really
AC/DC?
Yeah, and who's got Enter Sandman? Who's that?
Metallica.
Metallica. I would never. If Metallica played my backyard, I'd draw the blinds. I mean, okay. Okay, I mean, give me a break. I mean, you gotta
draw the blinds.
Man, that's not music. I couldn't even listen to that.
Not into that.
Yes!
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion.
Yes!
I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man.
Here it is!
Though my mind could think, I still was a madman.
Bam!
I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say, carry on my wayward son.
Yes.
Be in peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest.
Yes.
Don't you cry no more.
Bam.
How about that? Best show. Here on a different night even. Doing on a different night. You don't know when we're going to do this thing. Pop-up shows. You can do pop-up stores. We'll do pop-up shows. And we're doing this on a Saturday night. It'll air on a different night. It'll probably air on a Tuesday night. As I move around. Best show being a little mobile lately. A little mobile. My name's Tom. I'm the host. Tonight we're talking about three things, three topics on the table. Boom, boom, boom. What's the dumbest thing you ever heard? What's the best sandwich you ever had? And who would play you in the movie of your life? So let's get to the best show, and we will start this and figure this out now. Best show.
Jersey, back again.
Best show. It's me, Tom, doing the show. Off night. Where are we? Saturday night we're doing this. Keep you on your toes. You don't know when the best show is going to happen. Three topics. Dumbest thing ever said to you. Dumbest thing you ever heard. Best sandwich you ever had. And who would play you in the movie of your life? Let's get right into it. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Greg from Minnesota.
Greg from Minnesota. What's up, Greg?
Well, I am sitting in Wichita, Kansas right now on a spring break with my family and looking at Twitter and decided I was going to make my best show debut tonight.
Now, are you a are you in Wichita because you're the student?
No, I am the father.
You are the father of the student.
Yes, we are taking our family to Texas, and we drove, and we are in Kansas on our way to Texas.
And what's going to go on in Texas?
We are going to see. We're going to Austin. And my daughter wants to see the bats in Austin. And then my sister lives in Dallas. And we are going to the Cubs opener who are playing in Dallas next week.
The Cubs opener.
Yes, we're baseball fans.
The baseball Cubs.
Yes.
And they're playing the Texas...
Texas Rangers.
Yes. You ever read a book about the Texas Rangers called Seasons in Hell?
I have not.
It's a great book. It's one of the best books about sports I've ever read.
Okay.
It's about the first two seasons of the Texas Rangers.
All right. I'm in. I'll get it immediately.
Now, Greg, who's the best Greg you know?
Well,
who makes you proud?
Head.
Like, who makes you proud to have the name Greg?
Well, Greg Maddux is an all-time baseball legend.
There you go. Pitcher, Greg Maddux.
Yes.
For the Atlanta Braves.
Yes. Also with the Cubs.
Yes. Okay. But I'm not incorrect saying he was with the Braves also.
Absolutely.
Okay. So he makes you proud to be called Greg.
Yes, sure.
Okay. That's good. Do you have anything for the topic?
Well, the dumbest thing I've heard was something I heard recently. My buddies and I were in a rideshare car, and we're asking the driver, "Where's the any crazy long rides or anything like that?" And he said he once drove a guy. We were in Minnesota. He said, "I once drove a guy to Philadelphia," and we were thinking, wow, why would he have driven, why couldn't he fly?
Mm-hmm.
And the driver told us, he said, well, the guy said he didn't have any luggage, so he couldn't fly.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. That is literally the dumbest thing. That they won't let you fly without a suitcase?
We were so struck by it that we couldn't fight the logic or lack thereof.
No, there's no winning that one.
No, we just said, are we there yet?
You just go, oh, okay. Uh-huh. those times when you just roll with something that you know is completely wrong. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right.
And so whenever there's a conversation that we don't, since then, any time the conversation's like, doesn't make sense, we're like, yeah, he couldn't fly because he didn't have luggage.
Yeah, who could fly? Who could fly without? You can't get on a plane without a suitcase, because that's the big thing is they want you to bring as much luggage on as possible.
Exactly.
When you fly, Greg.
Yes.
You check your bag. You try to jam it in the overhead. What do you do? What's your style?
I check the bag. Because it gives me the illusion of freedom when I can walk through the airport with, not even the keys in my hand, and just...
Well, you might want to carry your keys on you. You might want to keep your keys on. If they lose your suitcase, you're in trouble.
Well, that's true. But just the not have to deal with any of that stuff. And you see, you know, it's always the most annoying people that are carrying the giant things that have to stick it in the overhead.
Trying to ram it in that overhead. And it's just like, and it's like, this is the thing. It's like, if you're like zone five or whatever, it's like your suitcase is not getting on the plane. It's not getting on.
But it's the same people that end up in zone five that don't think or consider that they're not going to have space to put their overhead.
Yeah, okay. Look, I've been in zone five, I've been in zone two, I've been in all the zones. The only thing I ain't been on is military. When they say if you got an infant or you're in the military, I've not been able to board the plane at that point.
No, talk about stolen valor.
That would be the worst kind of stolen valor. Just walking through thinking that they're just going to get hope that there's no other military people on the flight to bust you.
Right.
Well, you know, when you could do it is when you see that no other military people walked forward for that, then you could just be the one to just go at the last second. Cause you know, there's no other military people to bust you on it. Like, anyone in the armed forces can board now, and you just wait 30 seconds to see if any of these military people step forward. When they don't, then you're just like, oh.
Don't mind if I do.
Did they say armed services? That's me. Yes. And you salute as you walk through.
You say, I was just in the reserves. I was waiting for the active duty.
Yes, exactly. I was deferring to the active duty, to the active duty military. And then you're just sitting on the flight sweating, hoping that someone doesn't come down that aisle in like a uniform.
Right.
Oh, could you imagine that feeling? You just.
Actually, I could not.
What if they did? What if this is what happened to you? You do that. You boarded. You tried it. You get on. The flight attendant is just like, Greg, or not Greg. They're just like, sir, we appreciate your service, and we're going to move you up to business class. And then they move you up to business class. And then who sits next to you? Another member of the armed forces that came down the aisle real at the last second. And then the flight attendant's just like, well, he's also in the Air Force. You guys will have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that feeling? Oh, what would you do? I would just go, I think I left my laptop at security. You just fill the flight without me. I'm fine. I'll get on another flight or something. I'll figure it out. That's on me to figure out. You don't worry about any of it. And I would go on a different airline. I would just like go to a different terminal and just buy a full price ticket. It'd be $1,900. Yep. Yeah, please.
And any discounts available? Well, for the military. No, I'm not in the military.
Yes, exactly.
Swear to God.
No, not me. No, I'm not in the military. Although, what if the temptation got you? Like, you're like, yeah, I am in the military. Like, you just can't stop. And you're like, oh, why did you say that again? Then behind you,
really,
I'm in the
branch. Yeah.
Then behind you,
like,
yeah, and the guy, exactly. The woman behind the counter is like, yeah, I was in the military too. What division were you in? Oh, 83rd? I don't know. Oh, I was in a lot of divisions.
That's when you go, I was in Space Force. You know, that's a new branch.
You just
many of us.
Yeah, you're like, I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. You know what I mean, right? Oh, my God. Could you imagine that? Well, that, I got to say, Greg, what you called in about is a five-star example of a dumb thing. So I thank you. You drive safe going down to Austin. Have fun.
Thanks. So I'm allowed to call back?
Of course. Goodbye. Good guy. Best show. Hi.
Hi.
Hello, hi, welcome to the best show. Hello? No? You're not there? That's okay. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's
this?
How's
it going?
Yeah, that's going all right.
This is Chris from Philadelphia, but currently calling from New York at my parents' place.
Chris from Philadelphia. What part of Philadelphia are you from, Chris?
I live in Old City. My next-door neighbor is the Betsy Ross house.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't give away, like, my how direct my address is.
No, you shouldn't. That was a mistake. That was a huge miscalculation on your part.
I'll just say I was being metaphorical and not literal there.
No, that's how I took it.
Okay, good.
So what brings you to New York now? What are you in New York for again?
No, I'm just visiting family. Just back for the weekend. Driving back to Philly tomorrow morning.
Yeah, get back there. You miss it, don't you?
Yeah, you know, you can't stay away for too long.
What do you miss the most?
Philly?
Six inch Wawa.
Oh my god, yeah.
Cheese sticks.
I had my first Wawa last year.
Okay.
And it changed my entire life.
So you're new to Philadelphia?
Yeah, brand new.
And what made you move to Philly?
Job.
There you go. That'll do.
Yeah.
You like it?
The job?
Yeah.
No. I'm looking for a new one.
All right. Well, you like Philadelphia?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm only looking for jobs in Philadelphia now because I like it so much.
Oh, how about that?
And because I don't want to find a subletter.
Yeah. So tell me, yeah. Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Three topics on the table. Which one would you like to talk about?
Oh, shoot. I didn't see the topic.
That's all right. What do you want to talk? You talk about whatever you want.
Well, I wanted to say, I don't know. I called a couple weeks ago when it was just the other guys. You were off for the night. And I mentioned that it was my 1 year anniversary listening to the best show.
Yeah. What did they do? Did they honor you?
Yeah. No, there's a 21 gun salute and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah. I wanted to say thanks, for the past year. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
It was a weird thing, getting into the best show. Cause when I started listening, it was also right when I was, just starting to binge Monk again.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't watched since I was, like a kid with my family. And I had no idea that you had worked on it. Cause obviously when you're a kid, you don't know the writers on a show.
You just know
Monk, who's probably a real person in San Francisco, like solving crimes.
Well, let's not get carried away. You're not that.
No.
You weren't two.
I would. No. But that show meant a lot to me when I was a little kid because I had like some of the OCD stuff, and so
wow.
I really liked it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. So
thanks for that, and thanks for this. This show's brought me a lot of joy over the past year, with some, you know, tough transitions and everything, and, mm-hmm. you know, thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, Chris. You have a grand evening.
You too.
Best show, hi. Hello, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Emmett in Los Angeles.
Emmett? Do I know this?
Yeah.
Emmett? Do I know you?
No, this is a first time, long time situation.
What part of Los Angeles are you in, Emmett?
I am in Hollywood, I guess. Kind of above Hollywood.
Above Hollywood?
Yeah.
You're a rich
like not
guy?
Technically
rich
North
guy?
Hollywood.
Are you
just
famous?
Like near the Hollywood Bowl.
Are you famous?
I'm not famous.
You're not looking down. You're not looking down on the plebes from down
no.
in Hollywood Hills.
No, not yet.
Not yet. What's the game plan though? What are you, an actor, a writer? What are you, a director?
Oh man, I like to write. I'm not a writer yet. I haven't earned the noun.
What's the dream? What's the dream, Emmett? What's the dream?
Oh man, I feel like I'm living the dream right now. I can't believe I'm on the best show after all these years.
Oh, look at that! Look at that! What's the career dream, though?
I'm trying to figure that out right now. I got a job a couple months ago. I'm not super happy in it, so I'm trying to.
Where are you working? Paquito
transition
Moss?
Out. Oh, I can't say. I can't say, Tom.
Paquito Moss.
It's looking pretty good about now. I might fire off some. Paquito
what line
Moss
of work are you in? What line of work?
Oh man, it's gonna sound so bad if I say it.
Let me see if I can guess. If you think it's gonna sound so bad, publicity.
Like not too far off.
Entertainment attorney.
Publicity was closer.
Okay. Promotions, like you do some sort of like digital promotion.
No, you're still too entertainment. Go like, what's the sort of corporate downstream of publicity?
What? Tell me.
Marketing.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Someone's got to market stuff. It's you.
Yeah.
Now it's you.
Hopefully not for much longer, but yeah, right now it is me.
Yeah. So what do you got for me, buddy? You got something for the topic here?
Yeah, are we doing all three? Is it like rapid fire?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Well, the latter two, I think, are pretty straightforward. I feel like the best sandwich is a pastrami sandwich on toasted rye.
Okay.
Had one of those on Christmas Day this year.
Okay.
Felt pretty good about it.
Sure. Is that the family tradition?
No. Just me and my girlfriend.
Sure.
Went to a deli.
Where'd you go? Cantor's?
Where'd we go?
Cantor's.
No, we got Arts. Close.
Jerry's? You went to Jerry's famous?
Arts.
Okay. Arts. I don't know Arts.
Close cousin to Jerry's.
All right. So that's the sandwich.
Sandwich is good. What was the third one?
Who plays you in the movie of your life?
Oh, yeah. So David Thewlis. I've had this question posed to me before. Definitely feel strongly about David Thewlis.
Really?
Yeah. A
very specific choice.
I like to think there's an actual physical similarity, and I also just really like him.
You like him in Naked.
That's right.
When he creeps around.
Limping around South London or whatever.
Yeah. Does he attack a woman in that movie?
That is the opening scene, yeah.
There you go. Great guy. Great. Well, that's a great person to invoke as your cinematic doppelganger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily want him to be channeling the character of Johnny when he portrays me. But
Johnny.
You know,
you knew the character's name. Johnny.
I like that movie a lot.
All right. Well, very good. Very good.
So then dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. What's that?
So I was thinking about this on hold, and the thing that came to mind was in college, which was not so long ago, there was a show, like a sort of punk show, and this kid who was like pretty notorious for his behavior was being like repeatedly reprimanded by the singer of the group for being too sort of aggressive in the, you know, pit, as it were.
Okay.
Particularly with some young women, and he got kicked out of the show. But before he like was led away, he jumped up on stage and grabbed the mic and said, millions of people are dying every day, and I'm just trying to party, was his sort of parting words to this angry crowd.
To defend him groping people.
Yeah, it wasn't so much groping as just, like, I guess being, like, super aggressive.
Oh, gotcha,
you know?
Like a little shovey.
Shovey, and I think he always had, like, a really big digital camera, so I think he was, like, shoving people because he wanted to, get pictures
of them
from the front.
Yeah, that sounds like the dumbest picture you could ever get because it would prove you're shoving people.
Yeah, and
you would be documenting. You'd be documenting. Yeah, so then it's even then. So he'd watermark them. So he's saying, "No, I took this picture. This might be the dumbest right human alive."
I'm the shover.
I shoved this person, and I watermarked the photo to prove that I took it.
Exactly.
Holy moly, that's a stupid person. Don't even say what band it is. Don't even say.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a popular band. It was someone else visiting from another school. I don't even remember who it was.
It was just better not have been Bon Iver.
Bon Iver, was that what you said?
It's better not have been Bon Iver.
Yeah, well, those Bon Iver pits, they get rowdy, as you know.
If they find out this is Bon Iver or Iron and Wine, I am going to
blow a
fuse.
It was around that time.
Yeah. Well, highly unlikely.
But what do you think about his statement?
I think it's moronic. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
It's crazy, but the thing about it is that it's not untrue.
No, it's not untrue, but it doesn't justify his behavior at all.
It doesn't at all, but I think over the years it's kind of like echoed in my mind, and I almost feel like there's a sort of gnomic wisdom to it. Mm-hmm. Not that it justifies violence, you know.
There's like a whiz. It's like smart and dumb at the same time, but
exactly.
it's still dumb, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Net dumb.
Yes. Thanks for the call. Best show. Hi. Hello. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going. To whom am I speaking?
This is Kevin from Westchester.
Kevin, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Tom. Long night doing some work while I get the long chance, but I just wanted to call in to answer the dumbest thing I've ever heard question.
Yes.
So a friend of mine was under the impression that at one point in American history, George Clooney had been president.
Now, that can't be true.
Well, okay, here's...
Is your friend four?
I think the logic and the reasoning behind it was... Are you aware of the Spy Kids movies?
Yes, I'm aware of the Spy Kids movies.
Yes, the Spy Kids franchise, if you will. So George Clooney played the president in said franchise, and I think... I don't know, that's the only... like reasoning that she possibly could have had for like in the back of her mind, like she thought at like one point George Clooney was president.
This is troubling.
Yeah.
How old was she at that point?
So I think this was like a year ago and we're like 20 years old.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has... Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
Boy, oh boy. Is she in school?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good, then. That's good. She should be.
It's art school, though.
Well, okay. It's not that. Look, not everybody's got to roll off all the president's names. It doesn't get you anywhere. Just memorization don't get you nowhere. But
no.
But there is something to knowing that the guy from Dusk Till Dawn was not president.
I can't defend her, but at the same time, just like, I don't know, just with Reagan and like our current president, like, don't get me started, you know, like it's not hard to believe, you know?
No, it is. It's still pretty hard to believe.
Because okay, true. I can't defend it.
Pretty straight line, because you know that Trump is president, and you know Obama came before him, and that was 8 years there, and then George W. Bush came before him, and there's 8 other years, and then your friend was pretty much, like, right?
Then, yeah.
Bill Clinton was before that, so there's 8 years there.
Yeah.
So we're talking, there goes 24 years, right?
Yeah, that logic checks out.
Yeah, well, I hope your friend picks up some of those facts about that stuff. That would probably be helpful.
Yeah, probably.
All right, well, you have a great night.
Bye.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
It's Brad in Brooklyn. How are you?
Brad in Brooklyn. What's up, Brad?
Calling in on the topic of who would play me in a movie.
Mm. Who would play you, Brad?
Well, I think this may be an unorthodox choice, but I think Steve Buscemi would be the choice.
I think Steve... What era?
Well, that's a good question, because...
Trees Lounge. Performance,
Trees Lounge is a little early for me. I mean, he's still obviously older than me, but...
Okay.
I mean, I'm thinking of, like, Ghost World Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
But that's more like the sort of tone of the performance than, like, the age, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, I've been told that I look like him, which is kind of weird, and I don't really agree with it, but I have been told that.
That you look
and
like.
And I feel like he's just like, he's doing something different in that movie that I really relate to. You know, he's not like a sinister guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, he's kind of creepy, right? A little bit.
Well, he seems creepy, but like he's got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
All right. And I really relate to the whole like Skip James love and everything like that.
Well, then you picked the right person. Did you model yourself after him a little bit? What's the chicken and the egg of this whole thing right now?
I did not model myself after him, no, but I definitely saw myself in him when I saw that movie.
Okay, there you go. Well, then that sounds like ideal casting. What's the most expensive, what's the most you ever paid for a record?
Definitely not as much as that guy. The most I ever paid for a record is probably not much more than like $15 or $20.
You're a little, you're not much of a record collector then, my friend.
Well, I can't say that I'm a, you know, physical media collector, but the love.
You like The Cloud, is that what you like?
Yeah, Cloud? I'm all.
Yeah. Because that did really well with all that stuff on MySpace. That really showed the permanence of the internet.
I feel guilty for not being a physical media guy, but,
that's all
you know,
right.
That's just...
Oh.
Yeah.
I get it. I get the appeal. All this garbage laying around, what are you going to do with it? It smothers you after a while. Can't do that either. There's no winning. Either you're buried under trash or your stuff is not yours and it's temporal and then they change a format and you can't even access your own stuff.
Well, it's like,
pick your poison.
Exactly.
Right? It's a sick world. Equal parts sick and sad. Thanks for the call.
That's what I'm saying.
Best show, hi.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, it's going. To whom am I speaking? Oh, I know who this is already.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. It's my guy.
Can you hear me?
It's Fred from Honolulu.
I've never called you at midnight.
I know. No, this is the earliest you've ever called. Usually you call the show at 12:18.
How are you living, man?
I'm all right. What are you doing? What are you doing?
You know what? What would I be doing at midnight?
Okay, there it goes.
I'm hanging out. That's all it is.
No, you're hanging out. That's fine. Look, I'm not judging you. I think it's good for you. You're having a good time. You're having a little party over there with your medical marijuana.
What? I didn't say anything like that.
I love when you went. This is my favorite exchange with you. Yeah, weed's going to be legal in New Jersey. Yeah, well, they have to, and this is what you said. Yeah, they have to grow it in New Jersey, and I'm not smoking that stuff. And then I'm like, I'm not smoking that low quality weed. And then I'm like, you eat the worst food I've ever seen a human eat. And you're gonna suddenly pick and choose what weed you smoke. If somebody suddenly was like, "Hey,
sometimes
hey Fred,
I forget that you watched me eat a birthday cake for an entire week."
Yeah, yeah. When we worked together on the show Divorce, there was a cake in the office for somebody's birthday, and you just kept nursing that cake all week. You turned it into like multiple meals.
I remember like thinking like I shouldn't refrigerate this. This will ruin the frosting.
Yeah. No, you were. But suddenly somebody's gonna be like, "Hey, Fred, you want a hit of this?" And you're gonna be like, "Where? What is that?
Nah, man.
From Jersey." Yeah. No, thanks. You're gonna be like,
"That
yeah,
is not
I'll
what
pass.
I said." It was a technological delta between the established markets out west.
Oh no, look, this whole thing is a crock. When this stuff becomes legal, all it is everything's going to be 10 times as expensive.
Oh yeah. Well, the government eats its piece.
People are still going to be just buying it. People are still just going to be buying it illegally.
It's probably not going to like each municipality is setting their own rules or something like that, so it's never gonna like.
It's happening.
There's no way to cross one place to another.
It'll happen in New Jersey. It's gonna happen.
We'll see. That'll be a godsend if it does.
Yeah, suddenly you'll be hanging out in Hoboken in Jersey City. Suddenly,
listen, I'm a drug war veteran. I should be rewarded with a job when I come home.
Fred on the PATH train. Yeah, exactly. We'll salute our heroes. Salute our heroes. Here comes Fred, home from the drug war. Yeah. The war on drugs. Casualty.
Okay. I'm still here, man.
What's that?
I'm still here. You're still here.
No, but you've got but you did your time.
I did my time.
Yeah.
You're like
what's his face in The Master. Joaquin Phoenix in The Master.
I'm Joaquin Phoenix.
Freddie Quell. You're coming back from World War II.
Joker's gonna be fire, right? That's gonna be great. There's no way that's not
all
great.
Right, calm down. There's no way it's not great. No, there's plenty of ways it's not great.
So clean, Felix. I don't remember the last time I hated him in anything.
Look, I think he'll be great in it. I'm excited to see the movie.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantees on anything.
All right.
I remember that Suicide Squad trailer. When I saw that thing, I'm like, this is going to be the best movie I ever saw in my life. And then I saw the first review come out. It's like, yeah, it's awful. I'm like, what? No, it can't be awful. I saw that trailer. There's no way it's awful. And then I saw another review. It's like, yeah, it's really terrible. Then I go see it. I'm like, this is the worst thing I ever saw in my life.
I mean, if anytime, like, anything like that, and you don't get, like, an original song by Will Smith, and he's, like, starting it, it should be, like, a sign. Like, it's not a good movie.
Like, what song would you have wanted him to do? Like, Suicide Squad? What if he just did Wild Wild
he
West.
A rap about the Wild Wild West.
He just repurposes that. It's a Suicide Squad. Got Deadshot. Got Captain Boomerang. Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad. Now that he's out.
It gets real dark.
He's out now. He's not going to play that character anymore.
Oh, no.
Did you hear that?
How will we ever make money?
Yeah. How is it? You know who's going to play that character? Deadshot?
No.
Idris Elba.
Oh, no way, dude.
That's what I heard.
I want everyone to just get their money, man.
That guy's good. I like that guy's such a good actor.
Great.
He's so weird. That guy, like, you know, and everybody's just like, he should play James Bond, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why would he even waste his time with that? Like, why would he waste his time playing James Bond? Those movies are terrible. It's like, these Mission Impossible movies are now, like more consistent than James Bond movies. If anything, you should get in the next Mission Impossible movie. Put him that. Don't put him in James. Who's got to play James Bond? Like, let James Bond die. Let that die.
I would love to see him as a villain again. Like, he's really good at that. Like,
yeah, well, Fred, see, the thing is sometimes, I know guys like you only see certain people as villains in
films. Oh, okay.
You know, you need to realize it's 2019 now, Fred.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, you've got to let go of these things where you prejudge.
You work with a couple of Polynesians for like a winter, and now you're like the arbiter.
I love how you. Your Twitter is maybe the most annoying thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, absolutely! It should be. It's probably why I don't have a job.
You should have, but yeah, you wonder why you're unemployable. It's maybe because everybody sees you railing about everyone like by name. And then you wonder why your phone's not ringing.
Tom, let's just run alts. Like, we'll just have alts, right? And it'll just be like that Slack. Like when I tried to create a Slack channel dedicated to slander, it'll just be.
Yeah. Now that was another great Fred's great contribution to the writing staff of Divorce.
Did I or did I not get any of your supplies on time?
Oh, you got you did. Except for the thing you showed up was like a little doll's little. I wanted like a little thing with some drawers in it to put stuff in, and then this thing shows up. It's like meant for a dollhouse. It was like literally like Spinal Tap. I was like, Fred, I can use this. Fred's like, what supplies do you need? I'm putting an order together for a thing. Like, can I just get like a thing that just, it's like go on top of my desk and like have two or three drawers in it that I could just stick things in because my desk had no drawers.
Listen, I thought you were like a minimalist.
So then Fred orders this thing. I come in and there's this thing on the desk and it's like the size of, a pack of gum.
It would be like Marie Kondo. Like that would be her suggested size.
Yeah.
Of a drawer, so you wouldn't accumulate stuff.
There was nothing to fit in that thing.
Wanted a place to put your pen.
What are you going to fit in that thing?
I literally thought this was like a pen receptacle.
Yeah, no, I'll just take a cup. I'll stick my pens in a cup. I don't need a drawer for my pens. What are you doing? What are you up to?
Nothing, man. I haven't called in a minute, and I saw you were up. Literally.
Oh, man, you are.
I was like, whoa. You're
Look, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at right now in terms of
what's that?
In terms of having fun?
Oh, having fun?
Yeah.
I'm at a 5.
5 right now. That's pretty healthy. That's good.
I'm at a 5 right now.
Good. That's good. It's Saturday night. Why not?
Yeah, I know. Right? I know. Tom, can I suggest who I want to play me in a biopic?
Hayes Davenport.
I want Hayes to write it.
You want Hayes to write it?
I want Hayes to write it.
Who do you want to play you in a biopic?
The Rock. And it has to be absolutely method. I want him to, like, relive my life, basically. I want him to, like, gain all that weight. I want him to, like, walk around as small and as short as I have. We're basically from the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't be that hard. You know what I mean?
So you want him.
And I want him to eat as terribly as I do, but like not work out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like see.
Sure. So you want to basically eliminate the Rock from existence. You want there to be zero Rocks and two Freds. Like you're looking to this guy is like the gold standard for the human race. And you're just like, yeah, he should just eat some Papa John's.
No.
You fall asleep with a Papa John's box on his chest.
Just spam and rice for breakfast every day. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Is that what you, when's the last day? Is that what you eat for breakfast?
For mostly lunch, I guess, technically, when I get up that late. Yeah.
You have spam and rice.
It's fantastic, man. Like that, like, he would probably, like, he lived the complete opposite life of me,
mm-hmm.
while living in almost the same area as me.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? I wanted to see.
You could strive to be more like him, also. You know, you could stop eating that garbage. And, like, work out like he does.
Or we have not about even the same caloric intake right yeah. now, except yeah. he is, you know, not human.
No, he's working out for 7 hours a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're, meanwhile...
So I could say I'm living the same way the Rock is living yeah. right now.
Meanwhile, you're combing through Twitter saying, like, what would get the most... who could I hurt the most with one tweet? And then you just write something about the Beatles. Just like these, like, just buckshot you fire out at people.
I'm convinced The Rock only knows, like, his entire musical taste is based on what he's, you know, seen on, like, sang at karaoke or whatever. Like, just, like, growing up in Hawaii, like, the old Japanese bars and stuff like that. Like, there's no way he would like the Beatles. He might sing the Beatles.
Oh, no, I'm just saying while the Rock is in the gym,
mm-hmm.
you're on Twitter saying... Yeah, I'll write something about how I want to see Led Zeppelin get launched into space, knowing it will get the most, you'll irk the most people with that at once. I'm going to look at your Twitter right now.
I'm looking at it right now.
First, I have to unmute you.
Oh, my God. Oh, perfect. Thanks, man.
No, I didn't. I'm kidding. I don't have you muted. I have you blocked. No, here it is. Okay, so there's a Mets hat and a garbage can.
That's all my receipts from the year. Nothing is more depressing than being unemployed and going through your deductions.
What's he doing? You're moaning about Roma now.
I'm not moaning about Roma.
Well, did you like it?
I did.
Yeah.
I absolutely liked
it. Good movie.
It just reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite. Like, it really did. Like,
okay. Let's see. What are you moaning about here? Let's
oh my God.
See through.
I should be paying for this service. You should be consulting people.
You're moaning about Beto. What's that? Beto.
Huh?
What's Beto?
Who are you voting for, Sharpling?
I legally can't vote anymore. I don't know. It's 4 years away. What is it? It's a year away.
4 years.
It's a year away before you have to vote. Why would I care about
You don't do primaries? You don't vote on the primaries?
Yeah, when are the primaries?
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Right? No.
I don't know what the primary is. Let me look at Jersey primary.
Yeah. Well, okay. Look at Jersey primary. It's probably going to be June of 2020.
Jersey primary schools.
It's going to be like June of 2020.
Sure.
The primaries aren't in 2019. It's March.
Where is it? I'm trying to figure out exactly what date it is.
They probably didn't even figure it out yet.
I can't go through Ballotpedia like this in my current state. June 5th. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. June.
Of next year.
Next year, yes.
Yeah, so 15 months to go before I have to walk into a voting booth. Yeah, let me figure it out now, though, before half the people aren't in the race still, and it's just... Who are you moaning? I'm looking on your Twitter here. You're moaning about...
Oh, my God. Yo, it's
you hate Awkwafina?
You can't go through that.
You hate Awkwafina.
So, what's up?
You hate Awkwafina.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will not hide that.
You hate Trevor Noah.
I don't care. Oh, man.
You hate Trevor Noah. Who else do you
hate?
Martin Scorsese, you hate.
Oh, I love it.
You hate Jason Momoa.
That's the runner-up who plays me.
You hate Chapo, Chapo Steakhouse. You hate them. You hate Pod Save America, whatever that is.
Oh, okay. That's not a problem. I'm not ashamed of that.
Okay. Not seeing a whole lot of things you like up here, though.
You want me to list stuff that you...
Oh, here's one you like. You like Jeff Bezos. You like him.
So
the only people you like, the only people you
I appreciate Jeff Bezos.
The only people you like are The Rock and Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird,
gives me a
weird choices, Fred. All right, buddy.
All right, bud. Good talking to you, man.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. Have a great night.
You too.
All right, buddy. Bye. Best show. Hi.
Hello. This is Dan from North Hollywood.
Dan from North Hollywood. What's going on in North Hollywood tonight, Dan?
Not a whole lot. I have the night free. I usually do not.
Welcome to the
Thank
free,
you. I haven't called
off.
In a long time.
Yeah. So what's cooking, buddy?
Well, I'm calling on the topic.
Which topic?
You have three topics, and I'm calling about the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
Okay, and what's that?
Well, I am a stand-up comedian, and
I know who you are.
Oh, no.
This is Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, Dan Telfer.
It's Telfer, but yes, it's very, very much who I am. You are correct.
Dan hold on. See, I'm going to say it wrong now. It's Dan. It's not Telfer. It's Telfer.
It is Telfer. They got it wrong at my college graduation. So
well, that's the thing.
Standard for appreciation.
I was involved.
Very humble.
I was involved in your college graduation. How are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
Good. I'm glad. I worry about you.
I wish you wouldn't. I'm very healthy.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. So, Dan Telfer, welcome to the best show.
It's been a while, Tom.
It's been a while. What's the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
Okay, so I was doing
and this guy's funny, by the way. I just want to say, everybody, this guy's funny. I didn't mean to cut you off. This guy's
you're,
funny.
No, you're about to hear very little evidence that I'm funny. I appreciate the compliment. It's going to set this up at least so people think I'm interesting.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, here it comes. So I did a stand-up comedy joke where I talked about just, and I don't do this joke anymore, so I won't even pretend to, like, do it. But it was about how, you know, I'm a vegetarian. I like the animals. And I just thought it was funny how in olden times, let's say the Great Depression, people used to fight kangaroos, like in a boxing ring. And the kangaroos would do very well and usually utterly destroy the person.
Okay.
And I talked about how I enjoyed this because I thought the people deserved it for making a kangaroo fight them.
Yeah.
And after the show, I had a woman come up to me and say, you should not do that joke. That joke is very hurtful. My nephew was once on vacation in Australia, and him and his friends were drinking, and they started throwing beer cans at a kangaroo, and the kangaroo put him in the hospital. And that was really horrible for our family. He was in the hospital for a long time. And so I would really appreciate it on behalf of everyone whose families have been touched by kangaroo violence if you would stop doing this joke.
But, yeah, that is one of the dumbest things because she's forgetting the beer can part of the whole thing.
Oh, she was very happy to include that in the story, though.
But she's wondering why the kangaroo might do anything. Like, they were whipping beer cans at a kangaroo.
Thank you, yes.
And then this kangaroo retaliates and lays them out.
Laid them out, really? She went into a little more detail. I'm not sure if I should say on the show, but it sounded like he really got his comeuppance. It was rough for the young man.
Oh, I'm sure it's rough, and I don't wish injury on people, but I also you're kind of courting disaster when you whip beer cans at a kangaroo.
I guess they just thought, you know, it's got two legs, it's running around, it deserves to be taken down a peg, and they were wrong. They couldn't handle themselves.
I'm pro kangaroo on this one.
So am I, Tom.
So what's up, buddy? What are you working on now? What is Dan Telfer working on?
Oh, you know, I do a very silly Dungeons & Dragons podcast with some other comedy-type folks out here.
So give it a plug. Plug it.
It's called Nerd Poker, Brian Posehn's Nerd Poker. Yeah, he's a famous guy on it.
That's the most famous of all the Dungeons & Dragons-related media.
I is it?
Yeah. What else is more famous?
Well, there's that Critical Role thing. They just got like $8 bazillion on Kickstarter.
Well, then you're second famous. You're in the top three.
I feel good about that placement. Thank you.
Yeah. And wait till my Dungeons & Dragons podcast comes out.
Oh, please tell me you're doing one.
It's called Die, 20-Sided Die.
Okay. I like where you're going so far. Is there more to the premise yet?
That's pretty much all we've got so far.
I got real excited that you played on a regular basis, and I was about to hear something, but I should have known better.
When I was a child, I played.
Oh, I see how it is.
But I'm not judging it. I just didn't keep doing it. I'm not judging it.
Oh, Tom, there's no game of Dungeons & Dragons where every single person involved doesn't take a quick moment to lament that they are doing what was meant for a child.
Look, most of what every quote-unquote adult does now is addled. Everybody's kind of busted, and they're doing stuff they should have set down a long time ago.
It's true. Superhero movies, why are we even arguing about those?
Yeah.
That is for children.
Yeah. Comic books, wrestling. Look at this generation. Right?
Are you talking about our generation, Tom, of 40-something?
I'm talking about from before us all the way down. It's bad news, and it's getting worse. Because people are growing up with it now. Like, I remember when it was just like, hey, there's going to be a superhero movie. What? Spider-Man. What? X-Men. What? And now it's just like, man, then one comes out every 3 weeks.
Do you think it's because reality is so bad that they really just, they need it?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a broken era of humanity right now. A friend of mine, Jason Walliner, once he read a thing saying that posited that post 9/11, everybody has just been in comfort mode still. That it is an entire country in comfort mode.
That sounds quite wise.
I don't know where that came from, but it makes sense.
It does feel like we're grasping at the last straws of willing suspension of disbelief, doesn't it? Because at a certain point, we are going to run out of superpowers. We're going to run out of special effects.
Yeah. We're at the point now where people are going like tonight, people are like, what's the word on the Shazam movie? Like, like that's actually like moves the needle for adults. And I'm not judging it.
Yeah.
I'm involved in it also.
I supported the film Us tonight.
That's very good. I didn't get to see it yet.
Have you seen it?
Not yet.
It's real scary.
I want to see it. I will see it. Don't ruin it. I'm going to see
it. See it when the sun's out so you don't get the creeps.
Really? You don't think I can handle it? Walking out
no,
of the
I
theater.
Don't.
You don't? Okay. Well, that you saw it. I didn't. That's fair. I was watching Kronos the other night in the middle of the night. I was like, I don't want to watch this in the middle of the night. This is upsetting me.
Kronos is amazing. It's got that Mike Mignola poster. It's got Guillermo del Toro at the height of his powers.
Are those the height of his powers?
Well, the burgeoning of his powers.
Because I think the height of his powers would be Blade 2.
That was a good movie.
That's a very good movie.
I'm more of a Hellboy 2 guy myself.
All right. You like Hellboy? That new Hellboy, I don't know what to think of that. Hellboy looks like he's ill in it.
He's got too much hair.
He doesn't look well.
He looks a little middle-aged. Looks like he's in a cover band.
I don't know how fun that movie's going to be. I don't know. We'll find out. See, I'm doing exactly what I just condemned 90 seconds ago. I'm like, what are people going to think about Shazam? And now I'm just like, man, this Hellboy movie doesn't look so good.
Well, he's got hell in his name, so it's edgy.
Yeah, you're right. Look, I'll see
like
it.
Shazam.
I'll see all of it. All right.
Guys. Well, you have a good night, sir.
You
it was
have a
good
great night.
To
it was
you,
great
yeah.
to talk to you. You take care. All right,
farewell.
Bye. Good guy, good guy. Best Show, hi. Hello, hi. Welcome to the Best Show. Are you there? Yes, no? No? Best Show, hi. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Am I on?
You are. Welcome.
Tom.
Yes.
It's great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. To whom am I speaking?
This is Ian.
Ian, where are you calling from?
I'm in St. Louis right now.
How's that working for you?
It's working fine. I'm from Minneapolis, but I'm down here for work.
Who's your favorite person from Minneapolis?
My favorite person from Minneapolis?
Not like your mom.
Like my best friend?
No, not your best friend. Famous person.
Famous person? Josh Hartnett.
There you go.
Obviously.
Obviously. You didn't even need to say that. You could have just said, you know who.
No, it's...
Who is it?
Billy Batson.
Billy Batson from Shazam.
Yeah.
The character from Shazam?
No, I didn't know he was a character from Shazam.
Who's Billy Batson?
Billy Batson's a singer.
What? That's the guy from Shazam, Billy Batson.
Billy Batson's a singer.
All right. Look, what you do? What are you, high? It's okay if you are. I'm not judging it.
I'm pretty high.
It's okay. I'm not judging it. Where are you at on scale of 1 to 10?
I would have only said I'm pretty H.
Don't worry, buddy.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of you having fun tonight, where are you?
12.5.
12.5.
I got to tell you, I got taken out to little color mines tonight in St. Louis.
Where? Color Me Mine you went to?
No. Little Car Mines.
Little Car Mines. What's that now?
It's a steakhouse.
Okay. You say it like I should know that.
No, I don't think you should know it, probably.
Yeah. I went to Little Car Mines. What? What's that?
Yeah, I think I'm making up the little part, too.
Okay, so you went to Car Mines, which is a steakhouse in
St. Louis.
Yes.
St. Louis.
Yeah. Okay, what did you have? A big, nice, juicy steak?
I did have a big, nice, juicy steak, yeah.
Did you have some
I had
red
a ribeye.
Wine? You had some red wine
which,
with that?
No, I was having Italian spritzes,
okay.
Actually.
All right. How many of those did you knock back?
Two.
Okay. Then what else?
I had a couple sips of some grenadine.
Okay.
My coworker ordered a glass of it.
All right.
That's
it?
Yeah, well...
Then you smoked a lot of pot.
Well, yeah.
You can say I'm not. I'm just trying to get a read on what's the night here for you.
No, your read is pretty accurate. I think you got me pegged. I was calling in because I got one.
I heard the topic was the dumbest thing you ever heard.
Yeah, what do you got?
And I actually heard it tonight.
Yeah, what is it?
I was told a story about Slipknot, the band.
Yeah.
Not the knot, I guess. but you probably know it's the band I'm talking about.
I know Slipknot, sure. Yes.
Yeah. So I was told tonight, my boss said he had a friend who was on a tour with them. He told me that the singer from Slipknot, before he would go on stage, he had a glass or something that had a dead rat? A dead hamster, rotting in it, and he would put his mask on, and then he would huff the dead hamster before he slipped the mask over his mouth, and then he would throw up in his mask, and then he would go on stage and perform. And to top it off, he told me that the drummer would also whip his D out.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing I've heard. He would do what now?
He would pee all over the drums.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then when they started the set, when they played, they would be splashing around everywhere.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is really stupid.
He agrees. It's dumb.
And was he saying, how does he know this?
So he says he knows it because his friend worked with them, because his friend was somebody who worked on these DVDs that did a bunch of different camera angles.
Yeah, yeah. So the guy, so he'd drop a dead hamster in his mask and then throw up before he had to
sing.
In the mask. Yeah, that sounds practical.
Yeah.
That sounds like something you'd do.
Yeah. He had a follow-up story that was kind of weird about being in France and they played at like a gay bar and they didn't like it. So they beat people up or something.
Oh, that's charming. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I hope it's not.
Yeah, I hope that one isn't true either.
All right, buddy. You have a great night. Right. Enjoy St. Louis. This guy's having fun. Good for him. Best show. Hi.
Hi. Are you still picking for the topic of an actor?
Oh, we are.
That would best represent your life.
To whom am I speaking?
Hi, my name is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
I'm in Kansas City.
What's going on in Kansas City tonight? Which Kansas City, first of all?
Missouri. I'm on the Missouri side.
Who's your favorite famous person from Kansas City? Paul Rudd.
Don Cheadle. Yeah.
You don't like?
I don't really have one, but that was. I like Paul Rudd, but Don Cheadle came to my mind first. It never comes up.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So who would play you in the movie?
Oh, I've got it narrowed down to two choices. Either Fred Ward or Fred Willard.
Fred Ward. Remo Williams, the great Fred Ward.
Yes.
Or Fred Willard. Do they both have a similar kind of square-jawed quality to them? Like similar facial structure. Is that the kind of face you've got?
Yeah. I've got sort of a square face. You know, I'd like to have a pointier jaw, but, you know, that would be expensive. It's not in the cards for me.
Well, who knows? You might hit the lottery. Who knows?
Maybe. I had another thought, and I won't make it too long, but I was just thinking about this, looking at the news.
Yeah.
You know who would probably best play William H. Macy in the movie about the college admission scandal?
Who's that?
William H. Macy Fargo.
I knew you were gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was his deal. Remember, he kept saying, that was my deal. Wade, that was my deal.
It was his deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine caring? Look, college was my college experience was a travesty. It was a complete travesty.
Right.
But I can't even wrap my head around thinking college matters to that degree where you would do anything like that. Who cares?
especially who cares, and from a family that's got families that have a lot of money, I feel like they can already make networking connections for their childhood.
And the one kid was already doing like what's her face from Full House. She was doing unboxing videos and stuff like that on YouTube. It's not like she was like looking to go down the academic route. I'm not putting it down. Look, she can do whatever she wants or doesn't want to do, but it's like, why does she have to clog up a spot at a school when that's not her top priority?
She already had a career.
Yeah,
she's already making money doing that.
I don't know, man. People put this importance on school. I wish you could go to school when you were in your 30s and 40s. I wish that's when college started.
That would make sense. That's when I'm actually reading about the topics in school. When I was in school, I didn't care about a lot of that stuff.
Because you're a human. Because you're a human, and you get it now.
Yeah. My brain was still mush then, and now it's less of mush.
Yeah, and then you're thrown out. You're thrown out of college. They show you the door. You didn't even have a chance to learn anything yet.
No, because I was away from home, and that was very exciting, and I got to make mistakes I couldn't make before.
Yeah.
So.
I love it. All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Have a great night. Best Show, hi.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Best
Hello.
Show. What's up?
Hi, it's Kevin from Toronto.
Kevin from Toronto. Which Kevin is this now? Is this the one I don't get along with?
This is one you've never met before.
Ah, welcome.
Thank you.
What's up, my friend?
Not too much. I just want to say at the outset that I've been binge listening to the Recap My Friends podcast over the last couple of weeks since it's been free, and I have been absolutely enjoying the heck out of it.
I am glad to hear that. Thank you.
It's been a real, out of nowhere, very unexpected surprise, and I love it.
Good. I'm proud of it. It's one of my favorite things. I'm glad you feel that way about it.
It's great. I'm calling for basketball-related reasons.
Yes.
I'm watching the NCAA tournament, watching Zion Williamson, and I'm a Raptors fan. And I'm looking at him and contemplating the possibility that he's going to end up on your New York Knicks.
Yeah, can you imagine that? They'll blow it somehow. Yeah. They'll blow it.
They'll blow it. And that's why I'm calling, because I'm you've seen that recent video of Dolan kicking or banning the fan from life.
I didn't even watch it. I know about it though.
Yeah, it's typical. It's not surprising. It's
the owner of the Knicks is this guy James Dolan, who is this goon who is in like a blues rock band also called JD and the Straight Shot. JD and the Straight Shot, and they're terrible, and he like forces his band onto bills opening for the Eagles and things like that. It's a complete travesty of justice. And he recently bounced a fan. What was it again? He threatened to ban a fan from Madison Square Garden. Because
for telling him to sell the team.
For telling him to sell the team, yeah, as if he couldn't handle the... And he should sell the team because he's doing a terrible job with the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, he'll ruin... Because this guy, Zion Williamson... plays for Duke, which I hate. I hate Duke, but I do like the pros that come out of Duke.
Yeah.
It's undeniable. Those are some good... I like watching those guys in the NBA, even though I don't like them in college. But there's this guy who's really good, and they think because the Knicks are so terrible that they'll get the first pick in the draft and be able to get him. And... I'll believe it when I see it.
But that's it. I mean, part of me is, and I mean, as an NBA fan in general, I kind of want the Knicks to be relevant again, and I want them to.
Do you? Well, thank you, Raptors fan. I love this. This is what I love. This Raptors fan. The Raptors have eaten it so hard every single year in the playoffs, and they're really good this year. I never heard more complaining when they traded this one guy, DeMar DeRozan, who they kept capping out with this guy at every single thing. And I like him a lot. I like DeMar DeRozan a lot. They traded for Kawhi Leonard, who's one of my favorite players. Suddenly, oh no, what are we going to, why'd they trade DeMar DeRozan? It's like, what are you, friends with the guy? No. He's on your team. They couldn't win with it. So it's just like, now suddenly they're better than ever with Kawhi Leonard, which of course they would be because he's great. And now these Raptors fans, like when I was up in Toronto, I never saw more entitled fans somehow being like, oh, the refs are against us. The refs are against us. I never heard more, the refs are against us from these Raptors fans. I never heard we more than anything. Like, we can do this. We can do that. We. You talking about we? You're working on the same dumb TV show I'm working on. You're not on the Raptors. if we can just get a little more 3-point shooting, I think we can win the East. We. I would never say we. I've never said we in my life for one sport, a sports thing. It's embarrassing. It's not you. You buy a thing with the player's name on the back of it, that don't make you want to be on the team.
That's fair.
Do you say we? You say we, don't you?
I do say we. Yeah,
not anymore, you don't.
We are a very, not anymore after tonight, but we are a very insecure city sports-wise.
Oh, that is, no, you're very, it's a very insecure city in every possible way. And I do like it there, but you know what who doesn't like you guys? People from Montreal, they don't like that at all. People from Montreal were always like, you know, they're real nerds. They would always say you guys are nerds.
Uptight.
They did. They thought you guys were nerds. They'd be like, oh, these Toronto people are such nerds.
It's fair.
Yeah, that's the rap. That's the Montreal rap on Toronto.
Montreal's a way more fun city than Toronto. Mm. That goes way back.
And those people know it. Those Montreal people
know
it.
They know it.
They're just like, oh, these nerds. These people are so uncool. They'd just be like, oh, they're so uncool here. They're such nerds.
But on that, my question is really, but there's a part of me that feels, and this is a tiny bit of, if you're James Dolan and you are an idiot, but you have inherited one of the most iconic sports franchises of all time, and you are so far out of your depth, but you can't let go of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, that day-to-day, because he has to sell that team, but his day-to-day has to be absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. Being the one guy who...
He's a multi-millionaire. He's probably a billionaire. His existence is the furthest thing from miserable.
But no one likes him.
All the people that he's surrounded by who love him.
Who does love him?
All the people who, in his life, he's got people winding him up and kissing his butt all day long. He's in a bubble. He doesn't know. Somebody yells something.
Sorry.
God, no, you go.
I was just saying, the second he takes the tiniest step out of that bubble, he gets screamed at by every single person who, like, he has to know that bubble is the fakest bubble of all time.
Every time
he steps out.
Until he meets somebody who comes up to him and suddenly they're in front of him. Half these people are going to chicken out when they meet the guy and they'll just be like, oh, it's nice to meet you, Mr. Dolan. Because people have this weird respect for rich people. God knows why. Yeah. They got to respect. It doesn't mean any. It doesn't make them a better person. These people fold as soon as they meet. It's very nice to meet you, Mr. Dolan. All these people, when that owner of the Patriots, the football team, got busted for going to a massage parlor. Mr. Kraft. They talked about this guy, Mr. Kraft. I don't work for the guy. Why are you calling him Mr. Kraft? Well, Mr. Kraft, like he's such a class act. But you, Toronto, you Raptors fans, you got a little bit of toot. You think somehow you got it all figured out. Well, try winning something first before you start flashing in my face. The Knicks still have won a championship more recently than the Raptors have, my friend.
That's true.
1973 is the last time the Knicks won.
Still more
recent than the Raptors.
One question for you.
What's that now?
Would you take number one pick, Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving with the Knicks, or James Dolan selling the team?
Yeah, of course I would take the good players. I don't care who owns the thing if the team's good. It's not like,
you don't think he'd screw that up?
No, he's not like he's out on the floor running the point.
True.
That's a whiny team, though. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? Oh, my goodness. Could you hear the complaining on that team? Two of the least happy guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
They're a piece of work.
Yeah, you're driving me nuts now.
All right.
All right, bye. Best show, hi. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
You tell me, my friend.
Oh, is this Tom?
It is. Who's this?
This is Adam.
Adam, where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin, home of?
The Badgers.
Yeah. Keep going. Name a band from Madison. Come on.
Oh,
come on.
I don't know any bands from Madison. I'll be honest.
Aren't the Croydon from Madison?
The Violent Friend, the Violent Femmes are from Milwaukee, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I don't know. Any from Madison. Do you know any from Madison?
Aren't Killdozer from Madison?
I think so.
There you go. What's going on?
I'm just at my friend's house right now. We're watching Near Miss, the near-death experience videos on YouTube where, people are, inches from a train or, a bus in, Asia.
Fun night, huh?
What?
Fun night.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sounds like you guys made a pound cake.
Watching those videos when a motorcycle goes right 2 inches from somebody.
Yeah, yeah. There was one where this person was on, a hang glider, and they weren't, strapped in or anything, so they're just, hanging on for dear life. And then they managed to take it down in time.
It's scary.
Nobody actually died in any of them, though. So.
Good, good. What else is going on?
Not much, just hanging out with these knuckleheads.
All right. Well,
how about you?
I'm just doing the show, trying to get some good calls going here.
Oh, is this a good call yet?
Not yet. Give me some. Let's turn the corner, though. What can make it a good call?
Hey, you're the expert.
No, you're the caller.
I'm a long-time caller, first-time listener. So,
long-time caller, first-time listener.
Yeah, I haven't actually listened to the show before.
Sure,
but
you just call all the time.
Yeah, I've been calling for the last hour, trying to get on.
All right. So, give me some. Give me anything. Give me something. Come on.
I was playing cards earlier with my friends. Play cards?
Great. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom. This is Colette from Athens.
Colette from Athens. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I am all right.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. What's the good word in Athens?
Oh, just coming off of two back-to-back very heavy phone conversations, so I figured I would call with you and see what's up.
So are you you wiped out?
I'm a little emotionally tired, yeah, but
there's really nothing new there. I'm sure you know how that is. But
how do you cope with that, Colette? How do you cope with emotional exhaustion?
In my experience, it seems like the way that I cope with emotional exhaustion is to take on the problems of other people to a much larger degree than I already am.
Mm.
Which is not healthy. it's not. but that is what I do. I don't know. I had a friend call asking for me to help them through something that I will not, divulge into because they listen to the show, and then I tried to help my sister figure out the career stuff, and I myself am, kind of circling the drain in Athens waiting to hear back from the creative writing program that I quit as to whether or not they want to bring me back, and trying really hard not to think about that, so.
Well, Colette, all I can say is, like on an aeroplane, when the masks drop down, they say put yours on first, and then help the person next to you.
Yeah, I don't want to be selfish though.
Well, it's not selfish. It's self. If you do self preservation, and self care is not selfish.
Yeah, you know what the weird is that I just told two different people this.
Well, physician, heal thyself.
I know.
You would not, if I told you about you and just said person X, I did not say Colette,
mm-hmm.
and told you about this person I know,
mm-hmm.
and your advice to that person would be, be nice to yourself. Take care of yourself. But then when it's you, you don't do it.
Yeah, no.
That
it's weird. Do you do the same thing, Tom?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, I'm terrible.
I don't know.
It's the worst. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I always feel like I guess I don't deserve it, but
you deserve
that's
it.
Neither here nor there.
No, what are you waiting for somebody to tell you to deserve it? It's never going to happen.
I know. No, well, I mean, I am waiting for someone to tell me, but
then I'll say it. Then you deserve it. Does that make it better
thank you,
now?
Tom.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't though.
What?
It didn't fix anything. That's a problem.
Damn. Oh, I swore. I'm sorry.
You make the adjustment. You got to make the adjustment in your own noggin.
Yeah.
They can't do it for you, Colette.
Yeah, this is true.
So what's a nice thing we can talk about now that we've both mined this living nightmare of COVID?
Yeah. Well, you had some topics set up, and I guess I wanted to ask, what's been successful for you and what you
we're 3 for 3. You talk about whatever you want.
Oh really? I came prepared for 2 out of 3.
Ah, okay, let's hear it.
The best sandwich is an open-faced sandwich. I'm from the Midwest, and I think that Midwesterners love to smother everything in mashed potatoes and gravy. And that is essentially what an open-faced sandwich is. It's usually either roast beef or turkey.
Yeah.
And then there's a big old scoop of mashed potatoes on top where another piece of bread would go. And then a bunch of gravy. So it's the heaviest possible thing.
Yeah.
And
it seems like it's two sandwiches worth of everything that isn't bread. The only thing that makes it not two sandwiches is two pieces of bread to go on top.
Well, you only get one. You don't want to be indulgent.
Oh, okay. Or you don't want to go crazy. Because I'm thinking of a tuna melt. It's usually two pieces of rye bread that they slop everything on top of.
And it's just garbage meat, right?
The tuna melt?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that the tuna melt is getting the fancy tuna.
Where would you even get fancy tuna?
I don't there has to be a reason why restaurants that don't do tuna melts charge $15 for tuna.
Yeah, they want to make more money. They just want to keep they're still buying the same cheap tuna.
Oh man, I've learned so much about capitalism since I started calling into the show.
You have to realize they know you can't see what kind of tuna it is.
Yeah.
Unless they say on the menu that it's better tuna, it's not better tuna.
Yeah, this might just be like a thing where I'm like really gullible about that kind of thing, because like I grew up fairly like working class, like
mm-hmm.
Actually, when I say fairly working class, I mean like actually working class, like single parent, factory mom. Like dinner was usually going to the bar that had dollar hamburger night.
Yeah, it's like a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You're like if a Bruce Springsteen song got hit by lightning and then took human form.
I feel like I've been paid the highest possible compliment.
it's the kind of thing that you, first of all, you say fairly working class because you even that makes you slightly... Like, you don't want to, like, there's still even weird reservations about claiming that.
Yeah, of course.
I understand.
I went to college,
that.
So, like, yeah. I don't know. One time in a college classroom, someone told me that I was appropriating working class culture for wearing a denim jacket. So there's a lot of weird hang-ups about that kind of stuff in the circles that I've been forced into.
So a denim jacket is a class thing, according to your...
Yeah.
One of your, I'm not going to say friends, because this does not sound like a friend.
No.
So if you're just above a certain level of societally.
Yeah.
Is that the right word? Societally? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Then you should be wearing, what are you supposed to be wearing? A tuxedo jacket?
I don't know. Like,
what's a jacket that works that's not a denim jacket? Like, what would go, like a smoking jacket? Like, what's a jacket that's, like, above a denim jacket? Like, no, everybody wears. Look at Jay Leno. This guy's walking around in denim. This guy's got $1 billion and all he wears is denim.
Yeah, I have $0 and all I wear is denim.
Where's your friend?
So,
where's your friend going after, sick your friend on Jay Leno?
I mean, I think that they came from different circles, and I think they started reading like Marxist texts from like a place where they had more money than I did as a kid. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that they did not mean to come across so stupidly, but
they did.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Like, I was wearing a denim jacket that I thrifted like for like $2, and I got told that I was appropriating working class culture, which was great because like I don't know like. I went to like UAW summer camp and stuff like that. So,
it's a great time for a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Things that are just to stick up for and things that are just off base are like getting equal time in a way. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, how about you actually stick up for someone or something that needs defending rather than the idea that you're wearing a denim jacket? Like,
yeah, the idea.
Yeah. Put that energy somewhere else.
There's only so much energy.
It's like the social justice version of if you're leaning, you could be cleaning. Like saying that you're appropriating working class culture by wearing a denim jacket is leaning.
Yeah.
But you could be cleaning, like sticking up for someone who is getting unjustly arrested, for example. Or
right.
Beaten up, for example.
Yeah, but that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's very difficult to actually take on personal risk. Not so difficult to insult someone
for wearing a denim jacket.
Yes.
So is the denim jacket thing, I'm going to say that's the dumbest thing I've ever, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Oh, then I guess I'm set for all three. Oh, I'm doing so good.
Yeah.
You
did the sandwich and you got the dumbest thing off the, like just as a bonus.
A bonus.
You weren't even trying.
Value add. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, so like I don't know, I'm very gullible about things like that. Like not the denim jacket thing, but tuna. Being from the Midwest, we don't know. Like unless you go to the lake and get fish from the lake, like I don't know where it comes from.
Not near you is where it comes from. The other side of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, I had a vague awareness of that from, like, the commercials that came before Free Willy on the VHS that I had of Free Willy as a kid, like Bumblebee Tuna or whatever.
Yeah, about how they actually catch the tunas.
Yeah, they were very clear about them not catching dolphins.
Yeah.
Or in whales. A movie about whales.
Yeah. Yeah. Free Willy. Can you imagine? Like, isn't it hard to believe that was a movie? Like, in a,
no.
Sometimes there's things like that where you're just like, that movie is so odd in a way that it could be a movie that no one saw also. And you'd be just like, you remember that dumb movie Free Willy? Oh my God, did anybody ever see that? No. And it's just like, or it's huge.
It was massive, right? Like,
yeah. They made a sequel. What happened? What happened with the sequel? Willy got stuck again? I gotta say, for that, bite me once, shame on you. Bite me twice, shame. Come on, Willy. You can't get caught twice.
That's my favorite subgenre of movie, though, is movies where, like, a mythical beast is, like, tamed by the poor harmonica playing of a child.
Wait, is that what happened in Free Willy?
Yeah, the whale responds to this, like, outcast kid's ability to play harmonica. Like, he comes up to the tank and starts playing harmonica because he's volunteering at SeaWorld. I haven't seen this movie since I was a child, and I'm about to give you the entire plot synopsis.
So does Willy, like, smash the tank or something?
No, but, like, eventually, like, because SeaWorld is horrible or whatever, like, the kid convinces the other trainers to, like, free Willy and, like, take him back to the ocean.
Okay, so they drop him back in the ocean.
Yeah, but, like, the way that he bonds with the whale is by playing him music on the harmonica, and then Free Willy, like, makes whale noises at him, and then, like, eventually, I think that the climactic shot of the movie is actually Willy jumping over this, like, bunch of rocks in the ocean on his way out to, like, freedom. And the kid, like, does, like, that Freddie Mercury, like, fist pump in the air, but he's got, like, a harmonica in his hand.
Hey-yo. Does the kid do that? Hey-yo. Hey-yo, hey-yo. Hey-yo. And then Willy splashes him.
Yeah. I yeah.
You know what would be the most depressing thing to ever watch? To watch Free Willy backwards.
Oh, no. Yeah, it would be. It
would be called Catch Willy. Would not be a movie. So yeah, so your list of your favorite genre of movie seems pretty limited to enjoying children playing harmonica for animals. I think you might need to expand that genre. Definition.
Well, there's another movie in that genre. It's Jack Frost.
The Michael Keaton movie?
Yeah, the one where he's a snowman.
Yeah.
Who, like, he's a dad who dies, and because this kid plays a magic harmonica, he comes back to life as a snowman.
Unbelievable.
It has the all-time great line when, like, this kid is arguing with the snowman dad. Like, Michael Keaton, like, stops, and he's like, "Hey, I'm not the one who played the magic harmonica." Amazing. Such an amazing line.
I'm not the one who played the magic harmonica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So do you have something, Colette, for the final topic? Who would play you in the movie?
I do. Cool. As you know, like, it's very difficult to cast trans roles in Hollywood.
No, it's not.
Well, I know it's not, but I'm
just
speaking.
Get some non-trans dude in there.
Yeah. Hard. I mean, that part's real easy, but, like, they always seem to go for, like, the same type of person, like, real skinny, like, probably annoying, a method actor of some sort. I want none of that.
Who's the most annoying actor you've seen portray a trans character?
Oh, I mean, that's too easy. That's just Jared Leto.
Okay. You mean Oscar award winner Jared Leto?
Yeah, I do, sadly. Jared Leto, or, I mean, otherwise it's like Felicity Huffman did, and, like, no one really remembers Trans America. The most annoying person is Jeffrey Tambor. He's the most, well, he's the worst. Jared Leto's the most annoying.
Okay.
Eddie Redmayne is, like, maybe, like, the most uncomfortable to watch.
Okay.
Well, I can't, like, I haven't seen the movie where Matt Bomer plays a trans lady that the guy who played Drew Carey's brother falls in love with, so I can't rank him.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I don't know if it even came out yet, but there's this, like, Korean movie, or I think it's Korean, where, like, a cop wants to be a trans woman but can't decide whether or not he's going to be a cop or a trans woman. That was pretty great because okay. There was a lot of, like, fighting in it, and I really love that. but I forget the actor. Yeah, I don't know. I think the worst two are Tambor and
Leto.
Yeah.
So who would you choose to portray in the movie of your life, Colette? Who would portray you?
Dave the Animal Batista.
There you go, Dave Batista.
Yeah.
That's a good. He's a good dude.
He seems like a good dude. He seems real solid. Like, I don't know. He says that he wants to take on challenges in his acting career.
Mm-hmm.
He seems very serious about it. He did this movie where he, like, hugged Jodie Foster, and it made me cry.
Artemis?
Yeah, it wasn't a very good movie, but that scene made me weep.
It wasn't a good movie.
There was a lot of talking.
A movie like that should just be nonstop violence.
Yeah, it should be like John Wick.
That's exactly.
Which also has, like, kind of a lot of talking.
John Wick 2 had a fair amount of talking in it. I was surprised by how much talking was in John Wick 2.
John Wick 2, like, took the first 15 minutes to recap John Wick 1. Like, that movie seemed surprised that it was getting made.
That's a good point.
Not as good as John Wick 1. John Wick 3 should knock it out of the park, though.
John Wick 3 is going to be the greatest.
Can't wait.
Halle Berry, Jason Mantzoukas, Boban Maranovich.
It's really amazing how far Jason Mantzoukas has gotten for a comedian without a Twitter account. I'm constantly impressed.
Oh, no. Twitter is the worst place ever. Look who's on Twitter. Ask yourself if someone is truly great and then see if they're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good, though.
Yeah. I give myself a B-.
I'm saying, who do you think is like Paul Thomas Anderson, for example. Not on Twitter.
LeBron James.
Leaves regularly. Well, he's a company also. He's not even a human at this point. He's just like a corporation.
Yeah.
You just ask it. You don't have to be on Twitter to be great.
That's true.
Yeah. So
Jason Mantzoukas would be an interesting choice to play a trans person. I might be into that.
Well, you can go make your movie then, Colette.
I prefer a trans person play a trans person, but if it's going to be anyone, Dave the Animal Batista and Jason Mantzoukas.
Looks like somebody's looking to get their movie greenlit.
That's right.
Tonight you're packaging already. You're on board. You got talent that you're trying to attach.
Yeah.
You know, by saying it on the show, though, it makes me a producer on the thing, though.
I'm fine with that. Okay. I'm fine with that. All this right. Can be both of our years.
We'll see about that. We'll see. All right, Colette. This is a great call,
right,
as always. You have a great night.
Have a night. Yeah. See you later.
Bye. Have a night. I'll have a night. Okay. All right. Bye. Bop, bop, boop, bop. Any more calls? No. Well, one of the dumbest things I heard was earlier tonight, actually, when I was at the... I went to the convenience store, the Wawa, and the guy was on his phone. He's like, I just paid $110 for a vape cig. And he's on his phone. He realizes he's talking to his mother. He's like, Ma, it's hard to quit smoking. The tobacco, you wouldn't know. You didn't smoke. You wouldn't know. But he called it a vape cig. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, this is Lauren. I'm calling from Brooklyn, though I live in Philly.
Lauren, welcome, Lauren. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on tonight?
I was excited to see the tweet that you were doing the show tonight. Yeah. I wanted to ask you kind of a favor.
Okay.
So, as I said, I live in Philly. It's a little grim to be there. I was hoping that you would kind of facilitate the thing that you did a while ago with the Best Show dating thing.
All right. So what, you're looking to meet someone?
Yeah.
All right. We can do that. Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, Lauren?
That's totally reasonable. So I live in Philly. I'm a nurse. The only movie I saw in theaters last year was Uncle Drew. What else do you need to know?
Like, what are some of your favorite music and TV shows?
So, TV shows, I just started watching The Sopranos. I lived in New Jersey until I was 22, it was kind of a big deal for me to get into The Sopranos 20 years later, I think. But I'm very into it right now. I'm in season 3, if anyone wants to talk specifically about that. Music, pretty much, I guess, like, anything on Goner Records is kind of my deal.
Okay. And, how do you want to do this? You want to just have people email me, or you want to give your Twitter out? What do you want to do?
Probably emailing you would be better. My Twitter is, like, not necessarily functional.
Then people drop me a line, and I'll...
Yeah, and I'm available.
You email me, Lauren, and then anyone who emails me also, I will put you in touch with.
And that's bestshowforlife@yahoo.com?
That's right. Number 4.
I'm happy to do it.
Yes. And we'll see what we can. Just remember, the only caveat is that if you meet someone and you the relationship goes the distance, I get to pick what goes on your cake on the wedding cake.
Tom, it would be my absolute pleasure and privilege to have you choose what goes on my cake.
Wow.
And that's any cake, not just wedding.
Okay, well, we'll
just
find
any
out.
Any cake from now till then.
Famous last words. We'll see. All right,
okay.
We'll see if anybody drops you a line. Hopefully they do, and I'm sure they will, and then maybe we'll see what happens.
I appreciate that. And I did get this idea. I was talking about it with a friend of mine. We went to see you at the Cabin Boy screening in Philly.
Yes, there was a screening.
A while ago.
There was a screening, what was that, back in early January, I believe.
Yeah, January. Yeah, I believe it was January. It was terrific. You did an amazing job. I was talking to a friend about how it would be great if I can meet anybody in this audience, because clearly they were of my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there were many of us who did not call the show regularly who were of my tribe, and I should call in. So
yes,
tonight you gave me that opportunity, and I appreciate that.
Of course, Lauren, it's my pleasure. All right, well, you have a great evening, and we will talk soon.
Great, terrific. Okay. You too. Thank
Thanks.
You so much.
Okay, bye. That was nice. If you're interested, you email me bestshow4life@yahoo.com. That's if you would like to talk to Lauren in Philadelphia, if you're looking to meet someone. Boom, boom. You can almost end it, right? Should we end it? Should we end the show? I think we're close. I don't think anybody's calling in. That was nice. Did a couple hours. Surprise best show. Those are the good ones. I like these. I like these pop-up shows like this. Yeah, you know, keeping it loose. Popping up when we pop up, because, you know, Yeah, we do it. We do it when we do it. Best show is where I am. When and where I am, that's where the show is. Oh, another call. This will be the final call. Best show, hi. Hello, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi. Welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Alex.
Alex, where are you calling from?
Manhattan, Tom.
You're calling from Manhattan. What's going on tonight, Alex?
I don't know. I wanted to talk to you about who I would like to play me.
Let's hear it.
All right, Donald Sutherland. How about that?
You want Donald Sutherland. Which era of Donald Sutherland?
Kate Bush cloud busting era.
Okay.
So you know that one?
Yeah. The video for cloud busting?
Yeah. Isn't that a great music video, dude?
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I like it.
The story behind it is awesome. It's like it was an accident. Kate Bush happened to be in England at the same time as Donald Sutherland, and they just like met up. Dude, it's great. Yeah. Also, I just watched MASH, man. Have you seen MASH recently?
The movie MASH.
The movie MASH.
Yeah, I saw it about 6 months ago.
Don't you love how like the last third of it is just a football game?
It's a crazy movie. Well, come on, why tighten the language up? I'm sorry. The movie actually makes you realize that the show is kind of a disgrace in a way, because the movie has them, they're basically turning into animals because of the war. And the TV show flattens all that out and just makes it like wacky hijinks.
Yeah. Oh man. You put it quite succinctly, man.
Yeah, I'm smart.
But also,
that's
like, how little of the movie is about surgery. I don't want to. Like, the surgery scenes are just, you know, can we get a chest opener here?
Yeah.
Not my favorite
Altman movie. But it's something to see, especially after you get used to that TV show being what MASH is.
Yeah. No, the TV show is a disgrace. Man, what's your favorite Altman?
It's Nashville. That's not very original to say that, but it's the best movie I've ever. It's the best movie ever. That's why.
Yeah. I would say McCabe, but
that's right up there,
personal preference.
Too.
Yeah.
Long Goodbye.
What's going on, Tom?
Long Goodbye.
Oh,
right?
My God. Elliot Gould.
Dude. I know, right? California Split.
Dude. Oh, man. You know what I love about The Long Goodbye is there are scenes where, like, he's walking between apartments, mm-hmm. and there are, like, stoplights on the sidewalk. Like, who else but Altman would do that kind of thing? I don't know. You have to see it to know what I'm...
I've seen it. Very
specific thing that I'm talking about.
Well, I have to pay attention to that. I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah. All right, man.
You having a good night? I am.
What is this, a surprise best show or something?
Yeah, we're doing what we want to do.
Oh, I love you, man.
All right, buddy. I like you.
All right,
too.
Go back on, go on Hollywood Handbook soon, please.
Nah, never again. It's never happening again. That audience is a bunch of ingrates, and I'll never appear on that show again. I won't.
Really?
They ran me off of it. They ran me off of it. They didn't like it.
What
they
about
moaned.
A Kickstarter?
All they did was
How
moan.
We got a Kickstarter going?
I don't
know.
I don't need a Kickstarter. They couldn't pay $10 million to get me to do one episode of the show again. How about that? $10 million to do it.
All right.
Okay? Get the Kickstarter going. All right. You have a good night. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Brendan in Somerville. How are you?
I'm good, Brendan. Brendan, Somerville, where Somerville?
Massachusetts.
What's up in Somerville, Massachusetts tonight, Brendan?
Not a whole lot, to be honest.
All right. Having fun?
It's kind of a quiet night, so I saw you were doing a show online and figured I would try to give you a call.
Yeah, here I am doing it. You got anything for any of the topics we had?
I had one for the, I think it was like dumbest thing you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago when I was still in New Jersey, I saw, Inside Llewyn Davis at the, theater in Montclair.
Yeah.
And as the credits were rolling, this older couple in front of me and my friends, saw Justin Timberlake's name pop up. And the woman says to the man, "Oh, Justin Timberlake was in that. I wonder who he played." And the man says, "Well, he must have played the driver, because I don't know who else he would have been."
The driver, you mean Llewyn Davis? Or the other guy?
The guy that's with John Goodman and Llewyn.
The greaser?
Yeah.
Yeah, that goon. Right, the guy with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was not Justin Timberlake. That was pretty scary.
Right. Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's a movie about musicians, and you're going to hire a man who's known more for his music to play, you know, a character that doesn't, you know, sing.
Did you want to say something to them?
I looked at one of my friends, and she just gave me this look that was, she was just dumbfounded, and I was just glad that someone else heard it and was as sort of perplexed by it as I was.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to let those things ride. Got to let them ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Let these old timers take that one back home.
Yeah.
Right? Some bad info.
Right.
Some bad intel.
Exactly.
Llewyn Davis, where do you put that in the Coen Brothers oeuvre?
I mean, I really like that one. I would probably put it probably like top five.
Yeah, I would too. I'd probably put it. It's that and The Serious Man might be my two favorites.
Yeah, that one's up there too. It's probably those two and Barton Fink and maybe Burn After Reading and Miller's Crossing.
High for Burn After Reading. People were not a that one. That's not an automatic high ranking one. But good for you. I support it.
All right.
You have a great night.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's end the show. Thanks everybody who called. Best show. We do it each and every. The shows go up. I make sure there's shows. We're going to try to never not have shows. They might not be recorded on Tuesdays. Whatever. We do it. And then we do it some more. So let's say good night to you. And the best show will be back soon. Thanks for listening.